भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Canto, chapter 22, text number 58. Parshati sma yatha kamam parjanya iva tarpayam samudra iva durbodaha Satvena chala, rat, iva, varshatisma yata kamam, arjanya iva tarpayam, samudra iva durbodha, Advena chala rativa Varshatisma yatakamam Arjanya iva tarpayam Samudra iva durbodha Advena chala rativa pouring sma used to yata kamam as much as one can desire parchanya water iva like tarpayan listen Samudraha, the sea. Iva, likened. Durbodaha, not understandable. Satvena, by existential position. Achala, the hills. Radhiva, like the king of. Translation on purpose by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Just as rainfall satisfies everyone's desires, Maharaj Prithu used to satisfy everyone. He was like the sea in that no one could understand his depths. And he was like Meru, the king of hills, in the fixity of his purport. Maharaj Prithu used to distribute his mercy to suffering humanity, and it was like rainfall after excessive heat. The ocean is wide and expansive, and it is very difficult to measure its length and breadth. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj was so deep and grave that no one could fathom his purposes. The hill known as Meru is fixed in the universe as a universal pivot, and no one can move it an inch from its position. Similarly, no one could ever dissuade Maharaj Prithu when he was determined. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Shaksurum Militanjana Tasma Sri Guru Venama Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yad Kripadam Hamunde Sigurum Dinatanjana Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitanjana Bhutale Soyan Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrayatam Sahaganarunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahaganalalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Simate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitilamine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Prachaline Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Paschati Adhisatane He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvyai Vacha Patita Nam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare. So humbly request the blessings of the devotees. I can speak on these qualities of Maharaj Prithu. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, we are hearing of the discussion that took place between Maitreya and Vidura. And they are themselves discussing the activities of Maharaj Prithu. So we heard how he was instructing the citizens and... Okay. Shall I rewind? Or do you hear what I said before? So I was saying that we are hearing the conversation between Maharaj Prithu and Mahatma Vidura. And they are themselves, Mahatma Vidura and Maitreya Muni. So Maitreya is describing these activities of Maharaj Prithu. And now we're coming to his qualities. So three qualities are being described here. First one is that he will satisfy everyone. So in previous verses it was described that what is the purpose of the material creation? You may remember that that there is two purposes for the material creation. Anyone knows what are the purposes of the material creation? To enjoy, okay? And the other one? You know that? Huh? To suffer. We both go together, right? You cannot enjoy without suffering. That's duality. One more purpose. Shyamamayi? Yeah, to deliver them by going back to Godhead. So the ruler, he is perfectly aware that this is the purpose of the material creation. So therefore, it was explained that when he is ruling, he is making sure that the citizens are getting their desires satisfied. But at the same time, they are also becoming elevated. They are also becoming purified so that they can fulfill the purpose of human life, which is to return back home, back to Godhead. So in this way, the king, he is satisfying everyone's desires, but not in a hedonistic way that the people become degraded. So we can see the contrast with modern politicians. Modern politicians, for starters, they don't know what they are doing. They don't know what is the purpose of human life. They don't know how to satisfy the citizens. And they are themselves in ignorance. They are elected by unqualified people. And they haven't got independent power, so they're always controlled or pushed by other people. So therefore, everyone is dissatisfied. I mean, this is very obvious. There's no need to discuss it. But I just, as I was reading this, I was thinking this summer I was in the UK, and there was some riots. And the people, the thugs, they were actually going into the shops in daylight during the day, and they were just stealing all kinds of useless things like sunglasses and, you know, electronic equipment, you know, things that are not really needed. But they were vandalizing everything, and there was nothing the government could do. I mean, they were doing it right in the middle of the high street, where I was doing book distribution, basically. There, right there, they were doing these things. So the government was unable to protect the citizens. However, the rule of Maharaj Prithu, everybody was becoming satisfied. And he was very expert in fulfilling those desires in such a way that the people will become elevated. So when Lord Chaitanya, he was instructing Sanatana Goswami, he described 26 qualities of Adivori. Actually, in the first canto of the Bhagavatam, it is described that to rule a kingdom is very, very difficult. And to do it properly, one has to become a Mahabhagavat. Because you can imagine, arranging for the fulfillment of everyone's desires and elevating them. So first of all, the ruler has to become a devotee. So Maharaj Prithu, not only he was a Saktyavesh avatar, he was also, acting as a devotee. And he has these qualities of mercifulness. Actually, of the 26 qualities enunciated by Lord Chaitanya, anyone remembers any of them? Surrender. There are 26. Any more? Expert. Poet. Truthful. Humble. Is not. Louder, I can hear. Pure. Suchi, eh? Actually, he described, these are all qualities, he described one of them is Kripalu, he's merciful. And he also described his magnanimous, Vadanya. And he is also always engaged in performing welfare work for everyone, Sarvopakaraka. So we can see that certain qualities of a devotee are kind of very similar, they are repeated. Like the devotee, he's always engaged in performing welfare work for everyone. Actually, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, that is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for everyone, with his intelligence, with his mind, with his words, with his wealth. So it is the duty of everyone. And a devotee, he's always compassionate. That's another quality of the word, compassion. And compassionate means that in the Nectar of Devotion it's described that someone who cannot bear another, someone else's suffering. So this is what Maharaj Prithu, he was so concerned about the welfare of the citizens that we heard that in the previous chapter he was instructing them. He was telling them that, you know, he was instructing them about how to respect the Brahmins, how to respect the Vaishnavas, how to act in a way that they, you know, how can, what is the answer? Someone wants to fulfill their material desires and at the same time he wants to become elevated. Is that possible? It is or not? It is possible. Karma yoga. One can engage. Karma yoga means that one engages in the activities that one wants to do, but he, you know, he offers the results of his activities to Krishna, and in this way he becomes purified, connecting things with Krishna. So you can. It's not that Maharaj Prithu was expecting that everybody in his kingdom will become like a renunciant, but he was instructing them in how to perform devotional service according to their position, the level they were in. So as he was instructing them, then the four Kumaras appeared on the scene. And the first thing he did, he was actually he welcomed them and he was praising them and he was very, very nicely, you know, addressing them with very sweet words. It was the very thing that he had preached before to his citizens, how to respect the Brahmanas. So the ruler, he acts according to what he preaches. So he was, as he was addressing the four Kumaras, he said to them that how can someone repay the debt of to someone who has given him transcendental knowledge? How can one repay? Because transcendental knowledge is the highest thing that one can attain. There is no higher welfare worker than he who is given transcendental knowledge. Why is this? Because the whole purpose of the material creation is to become, to attain, back to go back home back to Godhead. But people, because they're in ignorance, they are trying to fulfill their material desires. They have been tricked by Maya. And they, you know, they are following these desires and becoming more and more entangled in material activities. But in order to become free from that entanglement, they require to be informed about who they are, who is God, what is the process by which they can reestablish that relationship, and how to return back home, back to Godhead. So the value of this knowledge is actually invaluable. There is no way to repay it. So Maharaj Prithu, he's already shown through this chapter how he's engaged in performing welfare work for everyone by giving them transcendental knowledge. And what is the first thing he did? After he welcomed the four Kumaras, he asked them, he said, how people who are attached to material activities, how can they become elevated? How can people who are, you know, like attached, who has material desires, how can they find any good fortune? So what was the answer of the Kumaras? Sanat Kumar replied. He said that actually the ultimate goal of life is to become detached from the bodily concept of life and then become attached to Krishna. This is actually the ultimate goal of life. Because, as you know, the Kumaras were previously, they were Gyanis, so they're preaching, seems like a bit of Jnana there, become detached from the material world. So how can this be achieved? Whenever we hear this thing about becoming detached, or I do anyway, it's so hard to give up attachments to the material world. Is there any hope? We try for many years practicing Krishna consciousness. So what is the solution if we want to become detached? So he said that one must constantly hear the transcendental pastimes, the transcendental names, the glories of the Lord. So the same message is being repeated again and again in the Bhagavatam. Right at the beginning, also the Bhagavatam, same thing is described. How to become purified from material entanglement is by hearing about Krishna. Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, he says that one can know me in full by hearing with mind attached to me. So what happens when we hear about Krishna? We hear about Krishna, then we become attracted to him. And by becoming attracted to Krishna, what happens is the mind becomes attached to Krishna. And the more the mind becomes attached to Krishna, the more we're able to give up material attachments, the more we become detached. And this goes on with another quality which is described in this verse. He says that he was able to satisfy everyone's desires, and he also says that he was very grave and he was very fixed in his purpose. So this quality of becoming fixed is also described by Lord Chaitanya in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described sthira, that the devotee becomes his fixed. So it's one of my most attractive qualities. You know, whenever I think of a devotee I admire, I'm very inspired by the challenges they went through their lives and how they remain fixed, how they remain determined to continue with their practices. So how is this achieved? Prabhupada himself, he underwent so many different difficulties in his preaching Krishna consciousness, but he remained fixed. So Bhagavad Gita says, Visaya vinivartante niraharasya dehina rasovaryan rasopyasya parandrisva nivartante. So one must develop a higher taste. And then, you know, when one is fixed in consciousness, then, you know, he can give up the lower activities. So to become fixed, this developing of a higher taste is very much required. And in order to do that, we must hear and we must chant. We must say, that's why it's so important. It's so nice here in Mayapur that there is so much hearing and chanting going on. So sometimes it's kind of even impossible to attend to all the different kathas that are going on. So we're very, very fortunate. So in this way, when we become, as we are becoming more attached and more attached to Krishna, then we are able to give up this self-centeredness, this illusion that I am the enjoyer, that I am the controller. So the devotee, he's also magnanimous in the sense that he is given the highest thing, even to everyone, you know, independently if they are qualified or they are not qualified. And I was thinking also, you know, in terms of becoming fixed, that if we want to become fixed, we have to be satisfied. Unless we are satisfied, then, you know, we are always going to be never going to be like firmly situated. So who are the people who are the happiest people? If you think about it, happiest people are those people who are controlling others, exploiting others. Are these the happiest people? The happiest people are those who are engaged in serving others. That's actually the happiest people. People who are engaged in serving others selflessly. So, but the devotee, he goes even beyond that, because the devotee, he's not, you know, some people who are, you know, engaged in welfare activities for others, they are still very much dependent on some form of reciprocation, some form of, you know, like emotional kind of exchange. Although there are some people who are also engaged without even expecting that, but also acting on the platform of the soul, of the body. But the devotee, he is not expecting any reciprocation. He's doing it for Krishna. And because he's doing it for Krishna, therefore he is not nothing can block him actually. You know, when we are acting on the material platform, on the material level, there may be so many obstacles. People, you know, we may not achieve what we are trying to achieve. People may not respond to our efforts. But Maharaj Prithu, he was determined, he was fixed like Mount Meru, because he was doing it for Krishna. And when someone is doing, it is also described in previous verses, that he was getting his strength, he was becoming fixed by engaging in devotional, by his engagement in devotional service. When we are engaging in devotional service without any expectation, without any, you know, other desire than that desire to please Krishna, then that we are getting the strength to remain fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's why the devotee, he is prepared to do anything for Krishna, because he's getting that use, he's getting that pleasure that we are all searching for. But that can only be achieved when we remove ourselves from the center. So it goes along with this idea of, being compassionate, being merciful. Actually, Chinandan Swami sends these realizations, I think, on a monthly basis. And this year, for the new year, he sent a very, very nice one. And he said he was thinking, what will be that thing that will change everything for the better? If there will be, if I could have a magic wand who will change everything, what will that be? Who will change, everything and my relationship with everyone? And he said, compassion. He says, when we actually develop compassion for other people, then magical things take place. And he was saying that, how do we develop compassion for other people? So he says that we develop compassion by having empathy about how other people feel about other people's suffering, which is again the quality we are seeing here in Maharaj Prithu in his dealing with his citizens. So, and then, of course, we may think, it's not an easy thing, right? To develop compassion. I don't have any compassion. But actually, in Lord Chaitanya's movement, by following Srila Prabhupada, it's very difficult, very easy to become merciful, because just by engaging in, serving ISKCON in whichever way we are engaging in serving that person who is merciful, then we develop mercy ourselves. Srila Prabhupada, he was merciful. So if we do the same things, we can become merciful ourselves. We can develop compassion ourselves. But he was requesting everyone. They said, why don't you try to be compassionate? We are so caught up within ourselves, with so many, caught up with material desires, with, thinking that I need so many things for my happiness. But actually, we're being tricked by Maya, because the way to become happy is not by trying to fulfill our own material desires. A definition of a material desire is that which can never be fulfilled. Material desires can never be fulfilled. You can fulfill, that Prabhupada says that. So material, as far as we are putting ourselves in the center, we will always remain dissatisfied. But the devotee, he removes himself from the center, and the best way to do this is by engaging in preaching Krishna consciousness. That's why the devotee is magnanimous. That's why he is engaged in performing welfare activities for everyone, because he is always concerned about how to elevate other people. And this is our challenge in life, how to, practice, how to develop this compassion. So then Maharaji was saying that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he gives three steps to do this, to become compassionate. And he says that the first thing is that one must see that everyone, is part and parcel of Krishna, that we are all part of the same family. Second is that everyone suffers in the same way and enjoys in the same way. And the third step is that one must make a conscious, determined endeavor to help other people. And as we do this, then immediately we can become, we actually develop satisfaction in the heart. We see, actually, those people who are happy, who are satisfied, they're always engaged in helping others, in assisting others. So then, the other quality that is being described is that a devotee, Maharaj Prithu, he was like the sea in the sense that he was very grave, very deep, which is another quality given by Lord Chaitanya. And he says that this quality, the devotee is very grave because no one can understand what the devotee is trying to do. And the devotee, he is always trying to do, what is he trying to do? He's trying to uplift people, to elevate people in Krishna consciousness. So someone externally may not be able to see what he's doing. There was one time that Prabhupada was asked, a reporter, he arrived in the airport, and the reporter, she said, "Oh, you look so grave." He said, "Why is it that you're looking so grave?" And Prabhupada replied that, "This is because I'm always thinking of Krishna. And because Krishna is so great, I become very grave." So the devotee, he is always thinking of Krishna. He is always absorbed in Krishna. And in this way, he's fixed. This, as I was saying, the other quality has been described, is that the devotee, he is fixed in his purpose. So, how can we become fixed? This is also described in the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam. There it says, the same instructions that are given here by the Kumaras, the same instructions are given. Yeah? How to realize the absolute truth? We realize the absolute truth by engaging in devotional service. Yeah? And, in terms of what we have heard from the Vedanta Sruti. So the necessity for hearing is being stressed from the very beginning. So what happens if someone has not got the taste for hearing? Then how do we develop a taste for hearing the message of the Bhagavatam? What is the means to do that? We have to develop a taste for hearing. Sususo satadanas, yeah, Vasudeva katarushi. So by rendering devotional service in terms of what one has heard, by serving those devotees who are fully pure in heart, one develops, one acquires a taste for hearing the message of Vasudeva. So again, the same principle is kind of connected. If we want to become fixed, we have to hear. And if we want to hear, if we want to develop an attachment for hearing, we have to serve the devotees. So both things go together. We must engage in welfare activities for the benefit of everyone. Give up this self-centered mentality that I am in the center. I am the enjoyer, I am the controller. Put ourselves in the consciousness of being a devotee. Unless one is a devotee, he cannot direct other people. He cannot assist other people in achieving their purpose in human life. So it says that one who has developed attachment for hearing the message of Vasudev, then the Supreme Lord is established within his heart. And when the Supreme Lord is established within his heart, then all the effects of the nature, modes of passion and ignorance are removed. How to attain to the platform of Nishtha. Tada rayas tamo baba kama lova dayas chaye. Cheta itar anavidam stitan satve prasidati. Says that, when the Lord is established within the heart of the devotee, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance are removed. And, the symptoms are lust, desire, hankering. They are all thrown out. And the devotee becomes completely happy. So if we want to, Pritu Maharashi was asking the Kumaras, how can one make rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness? So the Kumaras said, by hearing about Krishna. This point is so important, hearing about Krishna. Ramananda Prabhu, he was in Vrindavan last year, and he said that, you know, that what was the most important thing that Prabhupada told him? He was so close to Prabhupada in there, and he had so many discussions with him. And he said, what was the most important thing that Prabhupada told me? And he said, your life is meant for hearing. Your life is meant for hearing. So, again and again, Krishna himself is saying, hear about me. You can know me in full by hearing about me. But hearing about Krishna, you know, if we want to know him in full, we have to hear him with attachment. And if we want to hear the message of Krishna, of the Bhagavatam, if we want to hear that with attachment, then the heart has to become cleansed. And to do that, we have to serve the devotees and develop and give up this self-centered mentality that, you know, I am in the center, what about what I want, what about what I need. Again, this is not an easy thing. So, you know, we cannot do it by ourselves. It's not that, yes, by our own efforts this can take place. But we can invoke that mercy by serving the devotees. Krishna, he becomes pleased when we look after other people, when we serve other people, when we put other people first. Krishna becomes pleased. So these are the qualities that are being here described by Maharaj Prithu. And he received these qualities, he's described in a previous verse, from the different presiding deities of, you know, different planets. So here is described, he was like the sea in the sense that no one could understand his depth. And he was like rainfall because he could satisfy everyone's desires. And he was like a Mount Meru in the fixity of his purpose. So, becoming fixed is achieved through serving the devotees, through hearing about Krishna, becoming attached to Krishna. And then, when we come to that platform of becoming fixed, becoming steady in our devotional service, then is when real advancement takes place. We really want to come to that platform as soon as we can. You know, before, the progress in spiritual life is kind of slow. But when we come to the platform of steadiness, then devotional service becomes very, we make very rapid advancement. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any questions or comments from anyone? Gopal Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You were speaking about the 26 qualities, right? So there's one, surrender to the Lord, that if you develop that one, the other one will automatically, you know, without any other endeavor, that will come up, right? So, you know, just saying, if I want to, you know, surrender right when I go out of this door, what does that mean? What does Shastra say?
If I want to?
If I want to surrender, you know,
yeah.
What does that mean? What does Shastra say?
What surrender means?
Yeah.
Good question. Well, there are there are described six symptoms of surrender. You know them?
I mean, practically, I mean, yeah, accepting, rejecting, all that, yeah. But, you know, I want to get, you know.
But that's the surrender itself, that we are going to accept those things which are favorable for our devotional service. What things are unfavorable? Just today, as you come out of this room, we're always having to make decisions. This is the free will that we have. And we have the choice to tend to Maya or to tend to Krishna. So tending to Krishna is surrender. You are chanting your japa. You can let your mind wander throughout the whole universe, or you can hear it. That's surrender. You can choose to do the right thing.
I'm just asking because I read the other day in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says, you know, you can become a pure devotee in 1 second or in millions of lifetimes. It's just a matter of understanding the fact. So I'm just wondering, what's the fact?
The fact is that Krishna is everything. There is nothing else outside of Krishna. And we are all his fragmental parts. I am his fragmental parts. And I am his eternal servant. And I am meant for his enjoyment. As far as I am seeing anything else outside of Krishna, anything else which is not connected with Krishna, and therefore I am seeing it for my enjoyment, I am seeing it for my pleasure, I have to be put into an illusion. So to make that shift of consciousness can take 1 second, or can take many lifetimes. But we are making that practice because actually, you know, as far as we put ourselves in the center, then we have to be put into an illusion. Because when we put, you know, if we want to enjoy this material world, which is not meant for our enjoyment, we have to be put into that illusion. You know, we won't see things properly. So therefore, you know, the perfected state of the living entity is to be a devotee. That's the perfected stage.
It's not that easy. I mean, you know, I might want to not be the center, you know, or whatever. But it's not that easy to, you know, the mind, the modes are there.
Yeah, and you wait. As time goes on, then you'll realize that actually I thought that I was surrendered. Like Krishna will show you. Well, you know, it's like Krishna is just like a little boy, right? It's like a young children, a young boy. You are offering him something. Krishna, look, you know, I have surrendered this, I joined. Doing book distribution and doing this and doing that, and he's saying, "What about that? You know, what are you keeping that behind?" And the more we advance, or the more we, you know, move on in spiritual life, the more this thing that we're holding back, it will become apparent, and it becomes so painful. You cannot let it go, let it go, and you have to pray and pray and hope that Krishna one day will. But you have to really desire as a Krishna, you know. I look at my condition. Prabhupada, in a lecture, you know, we're talking about becoming satisfied. Very nice lecture he gave in Deity Installation in 1968. And he's saying, you know, that I wish I could read it because obviously it's not going to come the same way by what I say. But he was saying that, you know, when we approach Krishna, we should feel that we're completely unqualified. Say, I have nothing to offer you. I am offensive. I'm an offensive person. They say, but I have got this. You please kindly accept it. You know, what else can I do? And Prabhupada, as he's saying this, he starts crying. He begins crying. And he says, be very, very careful. He says, you're dealing with Krishna. This is my request. So be very, very careful. Very careful. And there is a hope for those of us who are still materially attached. It's a nice slogan I'm learning, actually. I can read it. This thing about becoming fixed sometimes can become a source of despondency for when we have some difficulty in spiritual life, which we may face at one point. So there is a very beautiful verse in the 11th canto, which is Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. So he says, having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. So in the purport, Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that the devotee, he even thinks himself, yeah, you know, even though, you know, damn myself, you know, I cannot, you know, stop doing the wrong things, but I will never give up my determination to serve Krishna. This is becoming fixed. sometimes we have this idea of, obviously, becoming fixed, it comes to a point where, you know, anartha nivritti is over, and then, you know, there is not so much like up and down on the roller coaster. But also on an earlier stage, it means that we will continue with our devotional practices no matter what. That is surrender. Surrender means that, you know, I'll try my best, even though, look, you know, this is all I can do. That's surrender. Keep going, no matter what. Persevere. And we have so many examples in the scriptures of this. And the body should remain happy and watch it me with great faith and conviction. Ashabandha, hope against hope. And there is one thing, and I was in Kartik this year, and we were hearing from Buriyan Prabhu. He was saying, he says two things. He said, all you need to know is that Krishna is all-powerful and that Krishna is all-merciful. He said, that's all you need to know. Yeah? So, you know, we may have, you know, so many things that seem insurmountable, but Krishna is all-powerful and he is all-merciful. So he can, by one kick, Prabhupada said, one kick, he can, you know, kick out all your karma, all your desires. People, the bodies have to leave.
Just real quick, that verse in that commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is a whole formula for practicing Uttama Bhakti, even if we're still have Kanishta tendencies. We just keep going no matter what. And that's what the Acharyas indicate, you know, we're within the framework of pure devotional service. A very powerful understanding. You could give that verse number to the devotees and then
it's
they can look that up.
11th canto, chapter 20, verse 27-28. It's actually a nice section. It's not only this verse. It's a very nice section where, you know, he's actually saying that one should act according to his own adhikara. So, in the back. Mike?
Hare Krishna, thank you for the class. Very nice. Just wanted to bring out that point, the second point that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said about developing compassion, of seeing that everybody suffers and enjoys in the same way. Recently, one very exalted devotee that had given me a lot of mercy over the years had some difficulty in following the principles. And one of the things that came out of that I got a realization from was, wow, he's actually under the same influences that I am. And I was thinking in my mind, wow, I thought only I had that problem. I was only had this, you know, attraction like this. And it was a really big realization for me that, wow, even he. So when you said that, it just turned on lights for me, wow. To understand, wow, everyone's actually enjoying and suffering the exact same way in this universe. I was wondering if you could expand on that a little bit as far as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prescription for developing compassion and how that aspect helps.
Well, I think you have already explained it in one sense. All I can say from my own experience is that, or my own, you know, you know, practice of this principle of, you know, that we see, we can become very internal, or I can become very internal about my own situation, about my own desires, about what I want, and it has no end to this. And you can really become crazy, actually. You know, material desires just drive you crazy. And the only solution I have found to alleviate that is always been going to someone and preach. It's a simple formula, actually. I was in this condition one time, I remember. I was like literally freaking out, as they say. And then I found also that Krishna always arranges for someone to come to you so you can preach to him. And the devotees, they actually go through the same things. We are not special, you know. We are all same, you know. We think the tendency, we put labels on people, oh, he's like that, she's like this. But actually, we're all sadhakas, we're all trying to become dear to Krishna. And that's very glorious, actually. And then we all go through the same challenges, actually. So, oftentimes, you know, when I have been in this situation, then Krishna, you know, a devotee comes and asks you something, and then you preach to him the same, because you've been through the same situation. And as you're preaching to that person, that principle, your problem goes away. It's just magic, the magic wand. That's what Satchinanda Swami is saying. You want to, want to find that thing which is going to change everything for the better, compassion. But we are caught constantly, tricked by Maya, thinking that happiness is going to come from, you know, I'm going to get my situation, I'm going to get my service, I'm going to get the respect I deserve, I'm going to get this, and we're just suffering. Yeah? But at the moment that we change that consciousness to actually serve others and try to, you know, assist in whichever way you can. You know, anybody, it's not even devotees, even people who come here. The other day when the devotee was giving class, he says, you know, just someone comes, he's showing the place, how are you? You know, immediately, the problem is relieved. You know, it's like you go, it's like book distribution is like this. It's such a nectar experience that, you know, everyone who has done it is nothing like it. The mind will create so many, you know, excuses not to do it. Eh? But once you go out and you do it, you're ecstatic, you're blissful, and people come in time with you, in touch with you, they come like you are in a bubble of bliss. And when they come in touch with you, they're blissful. And they go away blissful. And they give you money because they're blissful, they're happy. This is just because we are in this consciousness of being a servant. And we are so fortunate that by Prabhupada's mercy, we are able to access that. You know, I remember before I was a devotee, I was sometimes concerned about the suffering of other people. But I didn't know what to do. I remember telling a friend, I said, you know, I sometimes feel, you know, these people, what can we do for them, you know? And he said, I don't care, you know? But, you know, I didn't know what to do. But now, by the mercy of Prabhupada, you know, we can access that. And we can act as a servant and see ourselves as a servant. So this point of, you know, like, when we are also helping others, it's not that I am the master, you know. And then it doesn't work. It doesn't work. One friend of mine, he, years ago, like 20 years ago, so he was driving Radhana Swami in London, different places, he was serving him. And at one point he said to Radhana Swami, he said, Maharaj, I feel you are my spiritual master. And Radhana Swami's reply was, I feel I am your servant. So, you know, this is Maharaj Prithu. That's Maharaj Prithu. And when we're on that platform of being a servant, then we're fixed. Yeah? What is that verse? Hitvan yatar, what is that? You know, the meaning of liberation. Liberation means, you know, when one has given up all other changeable bodies, subtle body and gross body. So coming to that platform of being a servant, this is our goal. And this is best achieved through preaching. So whatever we're doing, even if we are here, preaching doesn't mean that we also go out and, you know, like give a class or something. But we preach by example also, by being good devotees. Yeah? We are so, you know, being in Mayapur is such a boon. I was for so many years, I haven't even seen Mayapur, you know, for 12 years in the movement. I've seen the Lotus Garden. And I was like distributing books and spreading the name of Gauranga. And, you know, and I always wanted to come here. You know, I was paying, you know, Lord Chaitanya, you know, why don't you bring me to, let me at least see it, you know, just come to see it. And one day I was doing book distribution, this guy came along and I said, I'm going to Mayapur. He wasn't even a devotee, you know. And I was like, thinking, wow, you know, what? He said, you know, he's a guy, he's just like almost like a karmi, you know. And I'm here, you know, like we were spreading the name of Gauranga for like many years. We have this Gauranga campaign at the temple. And I said, wow, I can come, you know. So coming here is not by accident, you know. It's very important, very, so we should take advantage. And taking advantage means that we charge ourselves and we preach. We go out and preach. And if we don't go out, we stay here, we engage in bhajan, we engage in kirtan. We assist all the devotees in the devotional practices. So, okay. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna.